This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. For years, physicians have pointed to doctor shortages as the main reason for worse health outcomes in rural areas. But the latest statistics show that North Carolina may not have a shortage problem, but a distribution problem. While some counties are overloaded with doctors, some have few, if any, primary care physicians. And that hurts rural counties that are trying to revitalize their economies. Jason DeBruin has been writing about this for the Triangle Business Journal and joins me now on the State of Things. Welcome back, Jason.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you. Give us a sense of how the state overall is doing compared to the national average when it comes to the number of physicians per capita.
Well, it's a narrative that's out there that there is this overwhelming physician shortage. And if you dig down into the numbers, that's really not entirely the case. Just as a for instance, if you look at Orange County alone, there's in the neighborhood of 1,500 physicians in that county. That's about 105 for every 10,000 residents. But if you get out to the rural areas, just to give two examples, Camden and Tyrell County don't have a single primary care physician in the entire county, and many other rural counties have maybe a doctor or a couple doctors, but certainly far fewer than are in the urban areas. And now I use Orange County as the outlier example. Obviously, there's reason to believe that, you know, that one is going to be overloaded. But even if you look at counties like Wake or like Mecklenburg or over in the Triad area, these counties have far higher concentrations of physicians. And so what you're seeing is health outcomes in rural areas are suffering because those physicians are simply overworked and they can't get to all the patients that they need to.
And just give us a sense now, national average. I mean, you said 105 per 10,000 in Orange County. That's the outlier. But other urban areas have pretty high ratios. What's the national average?
So the national average is 23 physicians per 10,000 population. And frankly, that's actually not that's about right. But the thing is, there really isn't any area that has exactly 23 per 10,000. I mean, the averages swing pretty widely, as we've talked about. I mean, even in Wake County and other areas in the Triangle, you have more like 43 physicians per 10,000 population, whereas in some of the outlying counties, you've got, again, you know, one or two for the entire county, let alone, you know, that many physicians per 10,000 people.
So our state overall does better than the national average when you average all of the entire state and compare that to the national average. The problem, of course, distribution, and that does correlate to health outcomes. Tell us how that correlates.
Oh, no question. Yeah, you know, especially for chronic diseases like diabetes, high blood pressure, you know, these types of diseases that you need sort of that constant care and you need to be checked up on by your doctor on sort of a regular basis, those are the types of diseases that you're seeing especially affected in the rural areas because these people, they just don't get to see their doctors on quite as regular of a basis.
I'm guessing that funding has a lot to do with this distribution problem.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. So Medicare, through its academic portion, it pays academic medical centers for training residents. But as you might imagine, these academic medical centers, like the UNCs, like the Dukes, Wake Med also is one, even though it's not affiliated with the medical school, it is an academic medical center, so to speak. So much of the funding goes to hospitals that are in these urban centers. So you have doctors, you know, students who want to become doctors, they go to school at a Duke, at a UNC. They then train at a UNC, at a Wake Med. And then all of a sudden we expect them to go out and practice for 15 years in a rural setting. It's just not realistic. But because so much of the funding for these residents goes to these medical centers that are in urban areas, that's then where the physicians are attracted, the students are attracted, and then, of course, they build lives there, and then they end up staying there. So that's definitely part of the problem.
So how do we fix that? Because some of these, again, you don't have to be a university to have a residency program, a university-affiliated hospital. But for a hospital to have a residency program, I guess, just starting the program itself is expensive. Am I right?
Quite expensive, absolutely. To be fair, if you have a resident, typically you're not paying that resident as much as you would be paying a full-on physician. But still and yet, the startup costs for these programs are quite high. But I have to give UNC Chapel Hill some credit here. They are doing good work in trying to fund scholarships, subsidize residency programs at rural centers, hospitals, yes, but also just doctor offices and small clinics where they have scholarships that are available for students who want to go train and practice in these rural areas. So then the rural practice might pay, say, for example, half of the cost of training that resident, and then UNC through its scholarship fund would cover the other half. Now, unfortunately, this takes a lot of time. I mean, you know, first you have to go through medical school, then you have your whole residency program, and then on top of that, if you're maybe going into some sort of a specialty, you're looking at another couple of years potentially of training. And, you know, although these programs are great and you know, they're getting doctors out into the rural areas, we're talking on the scale of maybe a half a dozen to at most a dozen per year whenever the problem is far greater and it's far more immediate. So, you know, although there are good things that are happening, it's going to take time, and it is taking time.
You've also reported, though, that there are other kinds of incentive, other programs that now incentivize doctors, and that would include larger hospitals taking over hospitals in rural areas. Is that right?
That's absolutely right, and this is one of the maybe silver linings of healthcare consolidation. One of the things that you and I have even talked about on previous segments is that these large hospitals, again, like Duke and UNC, are either signing management agreements or even just outright purchasing and taking over rural hospitals all over North Carolina and really all over the nation. Generally speaking, we think that this isn't great because the consolidation means that you sort of have more of the money, more of the control going to fewer hospitals. But the silver lining is that as these outlying hospitals now become part of the academic medical center's network, whenever they have their residents come in and go out for rotations, these residents can then make a rotation out into the outlying hospitals. So even if it's only for a semester at a time, say, that's still better than not at all. And even though it is only for a semester, you know, on the next semester you'll have another resident come out and the following semester and so on and so forth. And so this is a way to get these residents out into outlying counties where they can then maybe grow some roots, and then after they graduate and become full-on MDs or DOs, can go back out into those areas and hopefully, you know, start their own practice or join a struggling practice out in those areas where they're needed.
Well, in other news, a few local drug companies have recently said they're going public, and that is, out of the ordinary, according to your reporting. Tell us more about that.
At least this year, yeah. Don't say that there are IPO headwinds to some of these companies. It's really been a down year for IPOs, both here in the Triangle and nationwide. Let me throw a quick stat at you. There have been only 42 completed IPOs so far this year, so since January. That's down 63% from last year. And in the Triangle, at least so far, we've had only one successful IPO. That was Paragon Commercial Bank that went public just about a month ago. Also locally, we've had a company file to go public but then pull that off the table just because, you know, the market wasn't right. But then all of a sudden now here in the past few weeks, we've had one company, Bioventus. They're based out of Durham. They sell specialty drugs, and they are planning to raise $150 million in a public offering. And then Patheon, which is a company that contracts with drug makers to actually manufacture the drug, filed paperwork stating that they could raise as much as $700 million. At the end of the day, they probably won't raise quite that much. It sort of depends on a couple different factors. So I'm thinking they'll probably raise something closer to $580 or $600 million. But, you know, still when you're talking $500, that's still a heck of a lot of money for one company to raise, in a span of one day. So
what accounts for the change in atmosphere?
I think that it's just one of those things. Maybe there was a bit of pent-up demand. The market was so down that maybe these companies that would have potentially gone public, say, in springtime, the appetite from investors just was not there. You know, you had some of the nervousness over Brexit. You certainly had politicians were talking very sternly about trying to control drug costs. You had the Valiant mess and the Martin Shkreli mess, where they were, you know, just shooting up drug prices. So the, you know, just sort of the general sentiment, even among investors, even among experienced investors, they really didn't have a great appetite for drug companies, you know, in February, March, April, May. So I think part of this is just now Brexit is over, markets are coming back, it's summertime, people aren't necessarily reminded of all of the downtime or all of the, you know, the bad drug atmosphere, if you will, from a few months ago. So this is a better time to go public. I think that has as much of it to do with anything. But, you know, at the end of the day, these are companies with strong prospects. I mean, Patheon has been a strong company. They're here in Durham. They were taken private a few years ago. They have, you know, they've grown their revenue. They more than doubled their revenue since 2011. And so, I mean, I think they do have a strong business model. So it's not just that it's, you know, a timing situation. Certainly they're a strong company as well.
Jason, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Jason DeBruin's a reporter with the Triangle Business Journal. Just ahead, the absurdist comedy group Asperger's Are Us. You'll hear them on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.